For the homily, I want to offer my traditional Mother's Day greeting. I do wish a blessed Mother's Day. And as St. Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, we rejoice with those who rejoice within the body of Christ, which is the church. And I'm praying that all mothers, whether by blood, through adoption, or spiritual bonds, will continue to rejoice in the blessings of God. And certainly I send that to my own mother, who is present in the congregation today. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26 also says, as members of the body of Christ, which is the church, we suffer with those who are suffering. So in addition, I am praying for those who are grieving after suffering the death of a mother or a child. And I hope that your remembrance of them and the blessings that you have received from them will be a source of consolation for you. I'm also praying for those who are longing to have a child. And I am praying that those mothers and children who are estranged from one another will be reconciled to one another. At the end of the universal prayer, or the prayer of the faithful, I'll offer the church's blessing on mothers as found in the official Book of Blessings. But as a universal church, we are celebrating the sixth Sunday of Easter, and I continue my Easter season preaching series, which is entitled Proclaim, Declare the Works of the Lord. We're considering some of the wonderful things that God is doing for the benefit of humanity, and our responsibility and opportunity to declare them to one another and to others so that they can appreciate it and receive it. My subject today is the logic of loving God. Logic involves a way of reasoning or a way of thinking. Our relationship with God can be uplifting. It can involve feelings, but it also involves understanding. Know who God is, as God has revealed himself to us, and to know our identity in relationship with God, as God has revealed it to us. Jesus talked about knowing in the gospel reading today. And so faith seeks understanding. And when the Lord Jesus was asked, what is the meaning of all the commandments? He replied, to wholeheartedly love God, which is the context of loving ourselves and others appropriately. And this includes loving God with our minds. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, says the Lord. It's important for Christian disciples to have the right mindset during every circumstance of life. Sometimes we may feel uplifted or we may feel upset, but through it all, we are understanding who God is and our identity in relationship to God. And when we do that, we can never be undermined by anything. Look at the context of the gospel reading. Faith is not only just feeling good. Faith is to entrust our lives to God's care, even when we're not feeling good. The context of the gospel is that Jesus is about to suffer crucifixion and death. That is why Jesus began this part of the conversation in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, when he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. Jesus wants us to consider the consequences of entrusting our lives to him, and not to be confused by the different feelings that we may have as a barometer of whether we have faith or not. The apostles were not feeling good at the time of this gospel reading in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, but Jesus said, continue to have faith in God and have faith also in me. So now he says in today's gospel reading, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's inviting us to think logically. He's given us brains to think. We have faith and reason. They all come from the same source, God, and they don't contradict each other. Jesus said that if we love him, then logically it follows we want to keep his commandments. We want to follow his directions. He gives us a sure path to everlasting life. He gives us the means by which we can deal with any situation in life, knowing that we are beloved children of God, that God is at work within us for our good in his time and in his way. So Jesus says, if you love me, then logically it follows you will want to keep my commandments. Because in loving God, we love God for who God is. God loves us with an everlasting love. He loved us before we ever knew that God existed or could return love back to God. When the first human beings did not trust that in terms of not following some direction, some commandments for their lives, sin and death entered into the world. And God, in his unyielding commitment of love, refuses to abandon us to sin and death. So why would God abandon us to any circumstance in life? And so Jesus is saying, I'm about to die. I'm about to give of myself wholly and unconditionally to you for your salvation. And yes, you're troubled because I'm facing crucifixion and death, but the love of God will overcome death and I will rise again. So therefore, if you love me, if you trust me, Jesus says, if you trust my intentions for you, if you trust that I want you in heaven more than you could ever want to go there, and that is why I provide a sure path for you, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we do need to think, because sometimes feelings lead us to sin. Temptation invites us to sin by saying you will feel good if you do these things. But thinking tells us, no, this is against the commandment of God. I love God, and so I'm going to choose to do what's right. And sometimes it's going to be easy to do, and sometimes it's going to be hard to do. But the crucifix reminds us that we continue to do it even if it's hard. We talk a lot about the unconditional love of God for us. What about the unconditional love for God from us? And to ask God to help us even when it's difficult. And God is helping us. For Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father to give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth. So the logic of loving God involves the principle of God's commitment is dependable. For God gives us the gift of himself to help us to live as his beloved children. And notice in the gospel reading, he did not say, I will send you an advocate who will dwell within you, and you will feel that the advocate is dwelling within you. Or you will have a thrill, or your heart will be strangely warmed. Faith means God has said it was so, and I agree with God. And I don't place limitations on God saying I have to feel a certain way, God, to know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within me. And who is the Holy Spirit? The love of God the Father for God the Son, the love of God the Son for God the Father, and the unbreakable bond between them. And this is who is poured into our lives. What a dependable commitment from God. The unbreakable bond of love between the Father and the Son is poured into our lives. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a logical thing to do. But then it's also logical that if we break the commandments, we trust in the Lord's teaching that we can begin anew. Repentance is a change of mind influenced by the grace of the Lord. We remember that sin cannot do what it promises. It will not give us pleasure because we know we belong to God. So even if we feel pleasure for a time, there's going to be an unsettling in our consciences until we repent. And then it is to cooperate with God to have that mindset that when we're faced with that temptation again, no, I know who I am in God, and I don't want to lose my inheritance. God has been so good to me. And that comes from thinking. Rejoicing in the goodness of God comes from thinking. Thinking what God has done for us and is doing for us. A lot of times the enemy wants us to focus on what we don't have in comparison to others, thinking that that is what defines who we are. But what defines who we are is who God is and who God has made us to be. And then we don't get caught up in all of that competition in our minds, becoming unhappy because we think we have less than others, or we wish that, you know, we had what they had without knowing how they got it in the first place, the sacrifices they had to make to get it, or if they got it illegitimately. And yet people are going to waste time comparing themselves unfavorably to others. We need to think on how God has helped us, how God is helping us, and make that the basis from which we say, and I know he's going to help me out in the future. So in response to the dependable commitment of God, we engage in devoted cooperation with God. Jesus said that he would ask the Father to send another advocate. And in the Greek, that means a helper, a consoler. Explicitly in the Greek, it means a defense attorney. For that was what was used in the court system in Greece at that time, a defense attorney. So someone who's going to confirm you in your faith, build you up, someone who's going to protect you from danger seen and unseen. But as long as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and don't put limitations on God saying, and it has to be felt a certain way, God is there. And therefore, we need to communicate with God and to say, Lord, help me to remember all the blessings you are providing for me. Lord, help me to resist this temptation. This was really not for me. It takes me away from you. It takes me away from a right relationship with others. I don't need it. It's better to engage in that conversation than to toy with temptation. Oh, maybe I should run up to the line, devil. I think I can run up to the line and run back. And then the devil wins all the time when you do that, because you run up to the line and then that foot goes right across that line. And then the devil says, well, you crossed the line. You might as well sin big now. And that is not God's intentions for us. It's not logical. God loves me beyond imagining. I love God. Why would I want to do anything that would separate me from God? Again, it takes time to think those things and to have it on our minds when the temptation comes. But again, if we succumb to temptation, we need to think about, again, cooperating with God and saying, God, I agree with you. Your directions for my life are right. And I turn from what I've done and I want to live according to your will. And then in doing so, in cooperating with God, we're experiencing deepening communion with God. Jesus said at the end of the gospel reading, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. Now, that looks like that's a conditional thing from God. Well, if I choose to keep the commandments and observe them, then the Father will love me. What Jesus means by that is that in keeping the commandments, or if we break the commandments and repent and receive God's forgiveness, we will recognize how God already loves us. And it will deepen our communion with him. And we may not recognize it at first. But what will happen is situations will come, and situations that we've dealt with before, not just temptation, but other things. And we will remember what God has done and has helped us with. And we will not, and we will see a difference on how we face that situation now than how we face that situation over here. That deepening trust in God. But we have to have the patience to do it. The patience to do it. And God has patience with us. And so we thank God that he's always dependable. He even dwells within us to defend us, to help us to delight in his many blessings. And therefore, we're devoted to cooperating with him step by step. And as I've said often, if we make a misstep, we can cooperate with God to begin anew. And then that leads to a deepening communion with God, a great foundation of life in which whatever circumstance happens, the foundation of our lives will never be undermined. And we stand tall as we deal with what life brings. All of its blessings, even all of its burdens, but knowing that God is always there. Knowing that God is always there, working things out for our good as we cooperate with him. That is the logic of loving God with all our minds.